Restoration with Jason Aleph.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you are. This is Restoration, and I am the aforementioned Jason Aleph. Hello there. We got a great show coming up here for you. We got the missionaries Elder Daniel Hansen and Elder Rasmussen. Oh, man. Okay, first, I want to talk about the first episode. Now, I thought it went well. I loved having Brother Ryan Evans and Elder Reese Berge on. The dudes were awesome. And so, as far as that, I'm really happy. Now, I got to tell you the one thing that bothered me about the first episode, and that is my delivery. You see, I come from a radio background, right? And you're used to, like, in the car, and you're hearing, you know, the FM spiel, right? And it's all in this real upbeat, you know, hoo-ha, hoo-ha. For instance, hey now, the time is 3:13. I find this clock, and if you get the word of the day, something like that, you know, or, you know, the phrase that pays, you will win a 1978 Buick. Something like that, you know, and figured that delivery is kind of So hopefully this episode, I will try to give more of an all natural sort of delivery, because I'm sure you guys don't want to tune in or listen in on a used car sale, you know. Hey, come on in and kick a tire or two. Anyway, we got a great episode here for you. I got a lot of stuff here for you, so let's get to it, shall we? All right, here is the interview. All right, we are here with Elder Daniel Hansen and Elder Rasmussen. Hello, gentlemen.
We're doing good.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, first question right out of the chute, because you know this is lightning round. Anyway, introduce yourselves. First we'll go Daniel. Where are you from, and you know, how's your time as a missionary been so far?
Yeah, for sure. I'm from Kaysville, Utah. It's just about 20 minutes north of Salt Lake City or so. I'm here serving in the Oregon Salem Mission, and it's been great. Really been enjoying my time here. I'm learning so much about the gospel, about myself, and about other people.
Excellent. Yeah, this must be quite an experience for you guys. I mean, obviously, I can only imagine what it's like, right? I mean, it's not like I can jump into the, hey, I'm a missionary. But it must be life-changing for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. I mean, I remember getting probably about 3 months, maybe even 2 months into my mission, and just realizing, like, if I went home today, like, my life would still forever be different. And yeah.
I bet. Okay, Elder Rasmussen, you are up to bat. Hello, sir. Tell us, you know, where you're from and what your experience so far has been like.
So, I'm Elder Rasmussen. I'm from Cedar Hills, Utah, about 20 to 30 minutes north of Provo, Utah. And I've been out a lot shorter than Elder Hansen has, but I've still loved my mission. I've grown to love the people here in Oregon, and it's definitely been a very, very big change in scenery, especially over the last year or so that I've been out.
Oh, excellent. Hey, you know, you guys are both from Utah. I'm from Oregon. I feel outnumbered right now. So, just to let you know. Hey, Okay. What I want to ask is one of the questions I did last week, and that is, what does restoration mean to you guys? Brother or Elder Rasmussen, let's go first.
Well, to me, the restoration means that there were things that weren't here before, and because God wants his gospel to be preached in his way, those things need to be restored, like the authority to preach the gospel, and also the church, and also that structure that he set up about two millennia ago. And It is a way that the restoration means that we now have those things back here on the earth, and that we are able to enjoy the blessings of the gospel more fully in our lives.
Excellent. Yeah, great answer, man. Elder Daniel, you're up to bat.
Right on. Well, to me, when I think of the word restoration, I think of like an old car. And sometimes you see these old cars and it's got paint chips and dents and rust and missing parts, you know. And to restore the car, you know, you got to buff out the dents and get rid of the rust, replace some parts, get some new parts and paint it again. And I think it's the same with the gospel. I think back when Jesus Christ, he established his doctrine and his gospel, it was the perfect car. Like it just came off the line, right? Mm-hmm. And over time it got dented and scratched and rusty and pieces are missing. And I think the same thing with the gospel, right? And so it was really important that just like a car, the gospel was restored, repainted, refinished, and those missing pieces and chipped away paint was all restored back to its proper form.
Right. Yeah. You know, me too. To me, you know, the restoration means, you know, we as in the Church of Jesus Christ, right, has just, you know, we're humans. We lost our way, you know, and for good or bad, mostly bad, you know, Jesus, hey, you know, we got to restore stuff, man. We got to get back to what his mission and what God's mission is for all of us, right? And so to me, that means just the right kick in line, you know. If Prophet Joseph Smith is out in the wilderness there a little bit, out in the orchard, and he's, you know, pondering, you know, hey, where do I go from here? You know, what is right, you know? And then to have and then to have Jesus show up, you know, that must have been something. I can't even imagine that. But the restoration to me just means getting it back in line, what it should have been from, you know, from the start. And yeah, that's, I mean, that's what it means to me anyways. Humble little old me. But, you know, I want to move in. That naturally leads into the next question, and that is, how has the Book of Mormon changed your guys' lives? Brother Daniel, Elder Daniel, you're up.
Right on. Well, to be honest, I didn't read much of the Book of Mormon until I was about 18 years old. And I always kind of believed in it, but I wanted to have that sure knowledge, and I wanted to find out for myself if it was true. And so I remember pondering about Joseph Smith and pondering about the Book of Mormon and praying about it and receiving that witness. But as I've served my mission, the Book of Mormon has honestly become a safe place for me. I remember my first few weeks as a missionary struggling with a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, and we get an hour a day to study the Book of Mormon or the scriptures. And I just remember that hour being the most peaceful and safe part of my day, where I could just really feel embraced and loved by God, and I could read his word. And it was just, it still is the most beautiful part of my day, just reading the Book of Mormon.
Oh man, that's great. Great. Sir, great answer. Elder Rasmussen, how has the Book of Mormon changed your life?
Well, like Elder Hansen, I didn't read the Book of Mormon as consistently or as much as I wished I would have before the mission. And I didn't start reading it really in depth until I got on the mission. And I have actually been noticing that every time I read the Book of Mormon, I'm able to focus on Jesus Christ every time, because he is on every page. And his power is present in every word of this book.
Right, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, every time I pick up the Book of Mormon and I sit down daily and read some. This is the second time I've gone through now and reading it. And I tell you, I've learned so much more than just the first time. I mean, really that gentle revelation of when you read it in different aspects really hit home with you. I mean, I imagine every time just like you said, every time you pick it up, you have that true sense of peace and just more knowledge, right? So that, yeah, awesome answers, you guys. I totally agree, man. Now I'm always interested in what you guys do, right? I'm always interested in what you guys do on a typical day. I mean, because you guys are out there doing the Lord's work, right? And, but I mean, you must, have tons of different stuff happen in a day. Elder Rasmussen, what happens on a typical day for a missionary? Elder Rasmussen, your audio is off. Please turn it on.
Oh, yeah.
There you
Thank you.
go. All good.
Yeah. So on a typical day for missionaries, we usually like to schedule out things. We like to kind of set ourselves like a schedule. And it's usually based around things that we've already planned on previous days and things that we're planning that day. And when we plan, we usually ask the Lord for where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. Because without the Lord and this work, it wouldn't really amount to much of anything but our words and our actions. But with the Lord, it is able to become very powerful, and we're able to meet people we otherwise wouldn't have been able to meet.
Excellent. Yeah. Elder Daniel, you are up, sir.
Right on. Well, typical day. One thing that I kind of didn't really realize is when I started my mission, I was like, oh wait, I'm still like a normal person. I still have to eat. I still have to go grocery shopping and do my laundry and all that stuff. And so, kind of took me off guard when like we woke up and they're like, all right, let's go work out. I'm like, what? I thought we just like did missionary work. And so, we wake up and we work out for a few minutes, and then we'll go home, eat some breakfast, shower, just get ready for the day. And then, like Elder Rasmussen said, we'll plan out our day. And it's different with every missionary companionship, but this is just how Elder Rasmussen and I have been doing it recently. And then we'll plan our day and we'll do our study. We'll get that Book of Mormon study in, which is super important,
Right.
most important part. And
Yeah.
after we do our studies, we'll do a little companionship study where we read some out of Preach My Gospel, which is a little book to help out missionaries. And we'll study some, we'll talk about what we studied in the scriptures that day, stuff like that. And then after that, we go out and we do missionary work. And we pause around noon and around 5 o'clock for some dinner, some lunch, and we get back at the apartment at 9 p.m. at night and get ready for bed, write in our journal, brush our teeth, whatever you do. And we head to bed at 10:30.
So, hey, I'm gonna throw you a question that I didn't put on there just because I just came popped into my noggin. And it's like you guys said, when you're out doing the missionary work, right? And I imagine part of that is knocking on some doors, right? When you guys had to do that for the first time, tell me what you felt. Because I mean, to me, I mean, ooh, knocking on doors of strangers, especially, I imagine politicians, I'll knock on the doors, glad hand people, kiss babies, and so on. But how is it for you guys, Elder Daniel?
The first door I knocked, I'm pretty sure nobody answered, but the first door that somebody answered, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I do know that I was pretty shook. I was just like, hi there. and the people were probably really confused, and they ended up not wanting a message. But yeah, it was pretty scary, but pretty used to it now.
Elder Rasmussen.
Well, when we go, we knock doors. It is very terrifying, and that never changes. You're always still at least a little bit nervous, a little bit scared of what they'll do. But the first time I ever did it, I was very, very scared, and it not very. It's pretty typical for me. I don't really like approaching strangers, and now I have to go and do it almost every day.
So it's really kind of took me out of the comfort zone, right? I imagine now that you are a seasoned veteran, it's got to be somewhat easier for you.
It is somewhat easier. I still do get nervous. I still don't like talking to strangers, but it's gotten easier. It isn't easy, it's just easier.
Gotcha. And quick. Question real quick. Where have you guys served so far, besides here, in Forest Grove? And I'll ask Elder Rasmussen that.
Well, I served in, well, I started my mission here in Forest Grove, and then I went down to the Woodburn area for a few months. And I went over to Dallas for about a month, month and a half, and then I came back up here.
Excellent. Right on. So you guys have traveled around a little bit. Elder Daniel, where have you been, sir?
Started my mission off in Salem, South Salem, and I was there for like four and a half months or so. Then I went down to a little town called Lebanon, served there for the same amount of time, 4 to 4.5 months. Then I went back to South Salem for 6 months, and then I came here to Forest Grove, and I've been here for about 4 months, so.
Awesome. And just as a quick note, dear listeners, we are all in Oregon, right? So when you hear Lebanon and Dallas, no, we're not talking about Texas or the country of Lebanon. We are cities here in Oregon. Okay, so people out there are like, wow, Lebanon, cool. Anyway, so what do you think when all is said and done and your missions are over and both of you go back to Utah? Like, what do you think you'll take away, from your time as a missionary? And I'll go Elder Rasmussen first.
Well, from what I take away from my time as a missionary, I hope that I'm able to take away the amount of time and energy I put into studying the gospel and being able to apply it into my life as a missionary, because that's what we do. That's what we try to do every day as missionaries, and we try and do it as best as we can when we are not serving as missionaries and we go home.
Awesome. Yeah, Brett, Elder Daniel, I mean, what will you take away from all this, the whole experience?
I think I'll take away just a strong testimony of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Making a lot of friends out here, and I'm learning a lot of cool little things that are fun. But I think the most important thing that I've learned is that I have a Savior who loves me and who died for me, and he understands me perfectly as he does everybody else.
Right. I often think about, what your guys' experience are, because I mean this must expand your horizons a million fold, right? And I mean, you guys are in Utah, next thing you know, you're in Oregon, and you're serving as the missionary. And yeah, I'll be honest with you, and I really mean this, and I'm in awe of you guys. You guys do a fantastic job. Every time I've met with you two, I've always learned so much. And not only that, you guys are very personable guys, easy to talk to. So that is awesome. And so, because you guys are so easy to talk to, let me ask you, for somebody who is outside of the church, maybe a little bit somewhat interested, or has questions about the church, Elder Daniel, what would you tell them? What would you impart to them?
I would say to just give it a chance. Give the Book of Mormon a chance. Give the Gospel of Jesus Christ a chance. In the Book of Mormon, there's a prophet named Alma, and he talks a lot about this concept of faith. But he basically just exhorts these people to experiment upon the word, right? He says, take a seed and plant it, right? If it grows a tree, then it's a good seed. And he uses that in the same context in the gospel. He says, just try this out. Try having a little bit of faith and see what happens. And I would say the same thing. Just experiment. Just give it a shot, right? What's the worst that could happen from reading a little bit out of the Book of Mormon?
Sure. Seek and ye shall find, right? Elder Rasmussen, how would you approach it, and what would you say?
Well, I don't think I can add much more than what Elder Hansen has said, because that's all that we ask people to do every day as missionaries. We just ask them to give us a chance, give us and give themselves the opportunity to read from the Book of Mormon, to listen to our message, and to ponder what our message is, and to give the Book of Mormon a chance, give us a chance, and give the Spirit a chance to work in their lives. Because that's what ultimately happens, is that as you read the Book of Mormon, it will bring greater joy into your life. It brings that joy through the Spirit of God.
To me, it was, the other testament of Jesus Christ. To me, it was a natural fit, right? That when you read it, you're this meshes totally with the Old and New Testaments. And to me, that's like not only validation, right? But comfort, that it makes total sense. Why wouldn't some of the tribes of Israel, when they were just blotted out, Babylon and everything, why wouldn't they travel to the U.S.? It makes total sense. I mean, when you consider the Chinese traveling on the water, the Mesopotamians, all of that. Why wouldn't they? And how could they not, really? And so that brings, that jives with me, and really, like I said, it brings me comfort to know that there is another testament that Jesus really meant for all people to learn the gospel, all in all the four corners of the world. And that to me, that's not only humbling, but hey, there is a master plan to all this, right? And so I learned so much. I mean, the first episode last time I learned a lot, and this time I've learned so much too. Just to let you know, from me, you guys are extremely good at what you do. And again, I believe you guys are doing the Lord's mission. And keep on keeping on, guys. And God bless you, man. So, is there anything else you guys would like to impart before we end this interview? Any famous last words, Elder Danny?
Well, you were talking about, why wouldn't God, why couldn't that happen, and why wouldn't God love all his people and impart his gospel to all those people? And it reminded me of a great scripture in the Bible, in John chapter 10, verse 16, when Jesus is talking, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And I just love that, because with the Book of Mormon, we have a knowledge of those other people, just some of them. Of course, there's a lot more, but we have a knowledge of just some of those other people, and we know that they did hear his voice, and that he loves all his children around the whole globe. And I just have a testimony that the Savior, he does love all his children, and He loves me, and I've come to know that on my mission.
Well, amen. Elder Rasmussen, how about you, sir?
Well, what I remember is that what I want to say is that there is my God lives. He is Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. He was resurrected, and that he is the Son of God. I know these for myself. I know that for myself because I've had a witness from the Holy Spirit that those things are true. I know that there is power in those words, and because the Spirit testifies of truth no matter where it is.
Amen. Elder Daniel, Elder Rasmussen, thank you so much for coming on. Great convo, and again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for letting us be here.
Now that was fun, rapping with Elder Daniel Hansen and Elder Rasmussen. Hey, one of the things I did last episode that I want to continue is the verse of the episode. So this week we have 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, and that reads, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of the Son Jesus Christ our Lord. And that really, that fires me up a little bit, because I mean, how lucky are we to be a part of Christ's redeemed church and available to have the Book of Mormon with us? I mean, I really think that, I and we as part of the church, as extension, I can't, I can't think of a cooler thing to be able to evangelize and take the word out there for the restored church. The hope and just the sheer beauty of it really, it gets me every time. And I, again, wow. And that brings me to the next thing. Please like and share our Facebook page if you like what we're doing here. You can email us at restorationpodshow@gmail.com. And here's the FM voice again. Hey, you can also email us at restorationpodshow@gmail.com. And we got a lot of cool, exciting things coming your way here soon. We're gonna have a Patreon here so people can help keep this episode sustainable. I really want it to survive and thrive, and really to help bring on some really cool new stuff. I want to do some live shows on YouTube where you can interact in real time, right? And I think that will help make the show a better. So anyways, thank you so much for tuning in and listening in. And we will be back on Restoration next episode of very soon, Ari of Rivera Show. And remember, God loves you.